Dr. Singer, a little sound check. Can you hear me clearly? Fantastic. Okay, welcome everyone. It's so wonderful to see everybody. Just give me a quick hand raise. You could all hear me. Beautiful, amazing. Oh, wow. It's so wonderful. First of all, welcome back to our series on Tefillah. We are so happy that everyone is joining us and we're all together working on our Tefillah, trying to understand the depths of what it is that we're saying as we communicate with the Rabbono Shel Olam regularly, as we open that channel of connection, as we open that affirmation of our dependency on the Rabbono Shel Olam. But no matter what is going on in the world, especially tonight, I don't even know what's going on tonight because I haven't checked the news in 8 minutes because I'm not obsessive of something that's not in my control. But no matter what is going on in the world, to recognize that ultimately everything is decided from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially things that have global impact on the totality of the Jewish people and the broader human race. There's no question that so much of what we imagine to be in our strategic control is ultimately in the hands of the Rabbono Shel Olam. And that's so much of what tefillah is about. And that's why it's so critical that as we stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know what we're saying. And we're not just saying words. And we don't just know what we're saying when we're asking for things that are obvious, like wisdom and parnassah, sustenance, and health. But we know what we're saying in all of the other elements of prayer that are intended to create the focal point that ultimately creates and establishes that connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is so much deeper than just the few things on our shopping list that we want God to provide. And so we are in the midst of discussing the section of Shemona Esrei that relates to the Bakashos, the things that we are asking God for. And we're in the middle of a very interesting bracha, somewhat of a peculiar bracha, a bracha that I suggested last week is not really on the top of our list in terms of focus, because its meaning and its purpose somewhat elude us, because it sounds, first of all, like it's in the wrong place, and second of all, we're not really sure exactly what it is that we're praying for. And this, of course, is the bracha of Geula. The bracha of Geula is a bracha in Shemona Esrei that focuses on redemption. So let's return. If you have the packet, we should post the link to the Mara Mekomos. Maybe I'll ask if someone could do that. It's possible that someone can't do that. So we'll give me a small moment to do that. I apologize. And I will pull that up for all of us, so that we'll consider this the time that we would be spending in the shir handing out the packets. So even though it feels like this is unorganized, this is really We're totally on the game. You literally have us handing out the packets. You could just imagine they're coming down the aisle. And Baruch Hashem, that's not it at all. That's not it at all. Now it's Kilo. I handed out the wrong packet. Now we're going back to get the right packet. And that is right here. Copy and paste. And we're back. And now we're sending the packet only to Ruth when we mean to send it to everyone. And here we go. Okay, beautiful. Everyone has the Mara Makomos. And we haven't even killed any trees. Okay, wonderful. All right, so let's begin again. So we are all, if you have the packet from last week, this is an updated packet. So be sure to download. It's in the chat and everyone can download. If you're on Facebook Live with us, I posted it in the post before the shiur began. So let's reconvene. So we are up to source number 9. So we've been discussing this bracha of Geula. And one of the central points that we made related to a Gemara in Megillah, which was at the beginning of our Makoros. We even take a quick look at that Gemara. And that Gemara said very clearly that the bracha of Geula is the seventh bracha of Shmona Esrei. It's the seventh bracha of Shmona Esrei because seven relates to redemption. And the Gemara says seven doesn't relate to redemption. Eight is really about redemption. In the seventh year of the cycle of redemption, we're going to encounter great challenge and great difficulty and great obstacles to our ultimate goal of redemption. So why are we positioning Geula as the seventh bracha? And the Gemara concludes, this is the Aschalta de Geula. The challenges are the platform from which we're going to ultimately enter into this regal era of redemption. And so therefore, that's part of the Geula itself. We're going to focus on that tonight. But we also saw a very critical Rashi, which will be quoted throughout tonight's shir. And Rashi makes a very important point. And that is that this bracha is not a bracha for national redemption, but rather it's a bracha for something else entirely. So let's begin in source number 9 from a sefer I found, quoting some of the shiurim of the Belzer Rebbe. And the Belzer Rebbe makes the following point. Uve'emes hisgalus Mashiach tzidkenu, ubechol yoma zmano kedai kiramba. He says that the truth is, the ultimate geula, the final geula, the redemption that we all are aspiring towards, that redemption is applicable every single day. It is possible that that will be the day of redemption. As the Rambam writes, every generation has within it an individual. And that individual is of the stature and the capacity to serve as a beacon of transformation for the world to the point that we could ultimately usher in the era of Geula. However, look at the second paragraph. Aval af al pisha dayin lo igia zman shel hisgalus v'ikar ha-yeshua. Even though we sit here today and we recognize that we are not living in an age of revealed redemption. The world has so many challenges and so many difficulties and so many problems. Mikol makom, halo anu tzrichim behagalus liyeshua. But nevertheless, even though we live in the context of galus, in the context of exile, we require certain yeshua, certain salvations that allow us to overcome our obstacles within the world of Golos. So you might think that that is a posture of survival. In order for us to get through this Golos, so we can't be entirely overrun and overwhelmed, but rather we have to be able to be saved. We have to be able to persist and endure and continue what it is that we're trying to accomplish, says the Belzer Rebbe. That's not Hashem ozer lanu tamid, and Hashem helps us. V'zos hi aschalta de geula, de hachana shel ikar ha-yeshua. So he writes, that's not exactly the way in which we should relate to it. But rather, we, since we find ourselves in this era of aschalta de geula, we are as part of the process. We are in the initiating stages of what ultimately will be a redeemed world. And so therefore, says the Belzer Rebbe, ki gam b'ha-yeshuos sheyesh lanu b'golus, Anu makarvim hageula hamitis. So this is such an important point. In the small victories that we experience within our individual and within our age of galus, of exile, that is part of the larger story of advancing the Jewish people towards an era of redemption. So we're not in a disposition of survival. We're not just trying to make it through the day, but rather when we approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say that we want his ge'ula, that when we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should be Gal Yisrael. He should redeem us. He should empower us to overcome our obstacles of life. He should embolden us to be able to transcend the things that stand in the way of us living a life of purpose and of happiness and of joy and the ability to bring the Ribono Shel Olam into the world. All these things we're asking for is not so we could survive so someday some guy could fall out of the sky on a white donkey and take us all to Jerusalem. No, this is part of the story of the Jewish people, that my story is part of the larger story. And that relates to what we're davening for, because as we know, the bracha of Geula at this point in Shmona Esrei is not about national Geula. It's rather about personal Geula. It's about personal redemption. It's about overcoming the obstacles and challenges that we face as individuals within our own life story. And we may think that we're so small, we're such a tiny infinitesimal piece of the larger picture. What does it matter if I'm able to make it through the day with a healthy family and with a healthy mindset and with a healthy ability to advance myself and my community and to transcend all of the obstacles in front of me to realize my personal and individual potential, which is what personal redemption is really about? What does it matter? What does it make a difference? I'm so small. It's just me, Yaakov. God's thinking about everybody. He's thinking that Geula, redemption, relates to the whole world, to the entire Jewish people. So what we're saying is, Baruch Atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael. No, your appeal to God for a stabilized and anchored and healthy life, a life that is not constantly bombarded with disruption and challenge and overwhelming stress, a life that leaves you with space and ability to move your own potential forward, that is part of Geula. That's part of our national redemption. That's what he's saying. It's not just a matter of survival till we get to the end of the... This is part of the process. And that's how we have to view our lives. We have to recognize that the things that happen to us and the way in which we react to them matter, not just for us, but to the larger story of the Jewish people. And what also matters, not only in terms of us as individuals, is the Geula that we are aspiring to, in this context, the context of the Bakashos, the Geulos, the challenges of our generation. We have unique challenges in this generation. And one might imagine that earlier generations or greater generations or generations that were not as obsessed with technology and social media and distractions and ephemeral aspects of life, one might imagine those generations are the generations that are ultimately propelling our Jewish story forward. We just have to like get out of the way. We just have to figure out how to handle ourselves so that we don't get sucked into the abyss of assimilation. So we're just around when this finally happens. So I think what the Belzer Rebbe is telling us is that's not at all the proper perspective. Our challenges and the redemption of those challenges, the manner in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowers us and helps us harness those challenges as a platform for growth to be able to advance ourselves, our families, our generation, that is part of the Geula. Figuring this out is part of the Geula. They figured out how the printing press meant that the proliferation of Torah could exceed all expectations in all of Jewish history. It's on us to figure out how technology can help us harness the ability to advance Torah throughout the world in so many different ways. It's on us to look at all the challenges of our generation that are unique and specific to our generation, and to figure out how the redemption of those challenges, asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show us how to elevate those challenges to achieve something that's part of the Geula, that is holy, holy work, that is not survival. When you figure out how to balance the temptations of technology and distractions of technology and the potential of technology to advance your Yiras Shamayim and Shmiras Torah and Mitzvos, that's not you just sticking a filter on a phone to protect yourself. That's you figuring out how we in our generation are going to play our role in the larger experience of Geulas Klal Yisrael, of the Geula, of the redemption of the Jewish people. The next source is the Eitz Yosef. Eitz Yosef tells us, I apologize, I'm drinking from a bottle. I can't find any cups. Everything's locked away here. Anyway, I'm not in my home. Don't worry. So the Eitz Yosef tells us the following. The Eitz Yosef tells us, first of all, I have to stop and give a shout out to Ellie, because I see Ellie Gorelick and it is making my whole day. So to everyone who's watching this year, you should just know my whole day just changed by being able to see Ellie. I'm only disappointed he's not holding a Seasons bag or a Jewish link. I'm very impressed. But Ellie, we love you and we miss you, and it is so nice to see you. Okay. See, that's what happens when you leave your camera on. You get embarrassed and you get a shout out. Okay. Gula, we're talking about you the whole shiur, so you'll understand. Okay, so Eitz Yosef. The Eitz Yosef tells us the following. Bir Nosef Kosav HaEitz Yosef. Anu Mivakshim Hashem Yisparach. She'af Al Pi She'ein Anu Re'uyim L'Rachmei Hashem V'Yeshua So. So says the Eitz Yosef, this is the reason of why we're praying for redemption, for Geula, or why we are calling particular attention to our challenges. Re'ei V'Anyeinu. See our affliction. And we spoke about last week why we are directing God's attention, what that means to direct God's attention. But let's talk about this week, what we're directing God's attention to. So last week we talked about the concept of Hester Panim, what it means to access the Re'eh, that Hashem is watching, that Hashem is cognizant and engaged in what's going on in our life. But what does it mean, Be'anyeinu? What does it mean, God see our affliction? Okay, this bracha is not just a bracha. We get up and say, Hashem, get rid of all our afflictions. It's not what we say. We say, God, see our affliction. Let's, as Dr. Pelkovitz always says, name the monster. Say what it is. It's hard. This is hard. That's hard. Life is hard. Things are hard. Coronavirus is hard. Elections are hard. It's hard. So says the Eitz Yosef. Anu mevakshim Hashem Yisparach. We're asking of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. She'af al pi she'ein anu ru'uyim l'rachmei Hashem Yeshua. So that even though sometimes our actions, our behavior, our manner in which we try to live up to God's expectations don't quite merit a full salvation, b'chol zos, nevertheless, we say to God, Hu Yisparach yischashev b'yisurim ha'ovrim aleinu. We call HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attention to the suffering that we experience in this world. Shehem minachim u'mechasrim mechezben ha'avonos shalanu u'mechaprim aleinu. Because the suffering, the challenges that we endure in this world, that serves, as we always like to say, it should be a kapara, right? People like to say that when something's very, very difficult, it should be a kapara, it should be a kapara. It should be not to need a kapara. But it should be a kapara. What does that mean, it should be a kapara? It means that we have a certain calculation of how many merits we have because of what we've done, schar va'onesh, the manner in which we've fallen short. And this calculus can sometimes result in an imbalance that would, in theory, indict us towards punishment. But rather, when one introduces the reality of suffering, so that changes the calculus, because that has to be accounted for. The notion that things are hard. We referenced this once. I think it's the Chafetz Chaim who says that when we make a siyum, we say, Anu amelim v'hem amelim. We work hard and they work hard. Who's they? People who don't study Torah. They also work hard. Anu amelu mekablim schar. We work hard and we get paid. We get merit for what we're doing, for the learning. Vehem amelim ve'eino mekablim schar. And they work hard, but they don't get any merit for what they're doing. They don't get any payment for what they're doing. So I asked the Chavetz Chaim, what are you talking about? You think people who learn Torah are the only people who benefit from their hard work? You are amelim and you get schar, and they're amelim and they get schar. It's a different kind of schar. Maybe they get money, maybe they get prestige, maybe they get power, and you get eternal schar. But it's not true that they work and they don't get any reward. They get reward, says the Chavetz Chaim. That's not the pshat in the siyum. Pshat in the siyum is anu amelim umekablim schar. We work hard and we get merit for working hard, for the effort, lufun sara agra, from the fact that it's hard, we get extra merit. But as we all know, when you go to work in the morning, it could be really hard, it could be really easy. But what does the boss want? Get me results. I don't care. You get the results in 1 hour and you spend the rest of the day on the golf course, good for you. If you get the if you can't get the results in 20 hours, you're out of here. That's what it means. They don't get credit for how hard they work. They get credit for the ultimate outcome. That's not true about religion. In religion, you get credit not just for the ultimate outcome. The ultimate outcome is also defined by the nature of the journey. And if the journey was one of resistance, if the journey was one of challenge, if the journey was one that required summoning so much strength from within ourselves, so then ultimately, we get greater reward. And so therefore, says the Eitz Yosef, Re'ei v'yonyenu. So my understanding of the Eitz Yosef is that what he's saying is like this, that this bracha is really a continuation of the previous two brachos. What it's essentially saying is there's the bracha of tshuva, the bracha of repentance, and the bracha of slicha, the bracha of forgiveness, and then the bracha of geula, which says, God, when you calculate all of this, our insight, our repentance, our growth, our forgiveness, don't forget, now that you've come to your conclusion of what we deserve, because in a minute we're about to get to what we actually need, which is our parnasa and our refuah and all the different things in our life that we need, we're going to get to that. So you're going to look at us and say, are you worthy, Yaakov, are you worthy of these things, of health and of sustenance? Are you worthy? So you might think it only depends on tshuva and slicha. It only depends on my observance of mitzvos and on the forgiveness. But says the Eitz Yosef, what it also is contingent on is the nature of the journey. That matters too. God, it's hard for me. It's hard for me. And maybe it's easier for him, but it's harder for me. So maybe he's producing at 20%. He's daf yomi. I'm daf shavua. But you know what? It's hard for me. Daf shavua, hard for me. So I don't know. He gets more credit than I do. Not so pasha. You telling me I'm not living up to my potential? It's hard for me to live up to my potential. There are challenges. There are barriers. There are things in my way. So that's what this bracha is telling us. So re'ei v'anyenu. We're saying in this bracha, essentially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make the totality of our life experience part of this. And it is a bracha. It's the moment of Shemona Esrei where you really look around the larger landscape of your life and bring to the fore the elements that are standing in the way. And that's what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Redeem us from these barriers. Help us. Help us. Not redeem the whole Jewish people so we could go to Har HaBayis. Redeem me so I could go to Shacharis in the morning. It's hard for me. Redeem me so I could learn consistently. Redeem me so I could talk properly to people. Redeem me so I don't run out of patience. Redeem me so I can handle temptation and challenge. Redeem me so I don't have all this existential noise in my life where I feel so inadequate and so challenged. Redeem me. Help me. Help extricate me from those restraints so that I could realize my true potential. That's the bracha of Geula. The next Maramakam we have is source number 11, and that is Rav Asher Weiss in his Mamar HaTfila. So he writes, first he quotes the Rashi that we've been discussing, and then he writes, Venira in the second paragraph. So he writes that many people think this is a bracha for general redemption. It's not. It's a bracha for the geula of the individual. So he writes at the last line in the first paragraph, "Ubracha zu rishona hi lebirchas shebe'em mevakish adam atzarchei gufo." So he writes a little different than the Eitz Yosef. He says that, no, this is the first bracha of the things we asked for before, those were for mind and spirit. Wisdom, repentance, forgiveness, these are about the soul. Now we're going to get into the body, the guf. So we're going to get into sustenance, to health, to the things that we need. So says Rav Asher Weiss, V'nira she'ekdimu bracha zu lebirchas refa'enu v'barech aleinu. This bracha comes before the bracha of refa'enu and barech aleinu. Why? Mishum shehi klolis u'misyachases le'michlul tzarchei ha'adam v'kishiv le'umas shar ha'brachos me'abrachos ha'mtzoyos shekulon misyachsos le'tzrochim mugdorim u'misuyamim. So he writes, you know, when we ask Hashem for parnasa, we ask Hashem for making a living, we're actually asking for something limited, something defined. Now, you know, some days maybe we think making a living is X amount, some days we think it's Y amount, some days we need more, some days we need less. But even if you're asking God to make a really good living, there's a number. There's a number that if it fell from the sky, you'd be happy, it'd be enough. Everybody's got a number. This was many years ago. This was like, I probably shouldn't tell this story. This was at least 10 years ago. I got a phone call from a shul in Manhattan asking if I would consider relocating and becoming the rabbi of their shul in Manhattan. So I said to them, no, I had recently moved from Washington Heights to Passaic. I loved having a home and a backyard. I tell the story all the time that after 7 years of looking for parking in Washington Heights, and this was before cell phones. So, you know, you had nothing to do but listen to the news on the radio, even before you can access YU Torah in your car, nothing, just you and Curtis and Kubi, whatever was going on over there. So years and years of just walking around, you know, looking for parking. My first night in Passaic, that we had the house, it was Rabbi Shlomo Schwartz's house, the previous one, the new Menahel of YBH, we had bought his house. And I came home from Myriv that night and I pulled into the driveway and I said to myself, I got to do that again. I pulled out and I went around the block and I pulled in and I did this for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Came home, my wife's like, that was a pretty long Myriv. I guess now that you're a Rav, you got a lot of Kavana in Myriv. I said, absolutely, we didn't get a minion. Anyway, the point is that what happened... So this guy calls me up and he says, you know, would you move to Manhattan? So I said, no, I don't want to live in the city. So I don't want to raise my kids in the city. I like where we are. I like where we are. So he said to me, well, what if we gave you a lot of money? I said, I still don't want to live in the city. He said, I don't understand. He says, what if I offer you $1 million? I said, I don't need $1 million. So he said, everybody has a price. He told me you wouldn't come for $1 million. I said, no, I don't need $1 million. I need the happiness I'm looking for. And right now I found it right here. And besides, this shul will eventually pay me $1 million. It's not an issue. So what do we see? You know, it's defined how much money we need. Okay, you want a 10% raise, a 20% raise, a 50, 100% raise. It's defined. Health too. We'd all love to... I'm going to date myself, you know, have the physique of Arnold Schwarzenegger or whoever the equivalent is, the guy on the cover of the men's one day vitamin that I take religiously because one day I think by taking those vitamins, I'll look like that, right? We all want perfect health, but at the end of the day, okay, it's not perfect health. It's, you know, but it's limited. We want to be healthy. We want that we should feel good. We want that we should feel healthy. It's defined, says Rav Asher Weiss, the bracha of geula is for the aspects of our life that don't fit in a box. You can't write a check and fix this problem. You can't take a pill and fix this problem. It's existential. It's personal. It's defining to who we are. It's our relationships. It's our sense of self. It's our ability to pursue our dreams. It's our challenges that we have with our own sense of self-esteem, self-confidence, and our inability to reach the potential that we really want. It's the X factor that so often stands in the way of us being able to advance to where we really feel like we are actualizing who we really want and can be. So the bracha of Gal Yisrael is a bracha for achieving human potential that's undefined by just how much money we make and how healthy we are. It's a sense of the broader issues in life. And for that, it's the proper place to daven, not only for specific things, but to daven for just general. You look around your life and you say, it's not working. This isn't working. That's not working. The marriage isn't working. The kids aren't working. The relationships aren't working. The friendships aren't working. The job isn't working. I'm not working. There's something in me that's not working. That's the bracha of Re'ei V'anyenu. Look at Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's hard for me. I'm not working. I'm not firing on all cylinders. This should be the bracha that we have the most kavana in during Corona, more than any other bracha. This is the bracha that just says, this is that bracha. This is when you say that in Shmona Esrei. This is it. It's not the bracha of Rifayinu. Rifayinu is Hashem, please don't let me end up with the 16-year-old who shoves the thing up my nose so far that they hit my brain, right? That's Rifayinu. Don't give me COVID. I, or worse, don't quarantine me or quarantine my kids from school, right? Maybe that is a bracha of Geula. I don't know. But there's another dimension to this, the dimension where this just undefined sense of anxiety and challenge and fear and overwhelming just tightness. That's what we're asking at Kadosh Baruch Hu for in the Bracha of Geula. I want to share with you from a beautiful sefer called Sama Nafshi by Rav Druckman. So he points out, he quotes an Abu Draham, so you look at source number 12. And he writes, Abu Draham actually structures Shmona Esrei in an interesting way. Structures Shmona Esrei in an interesting way that there are different categories of brachos. Different categories of brachos. The 13 middle brachos, he writes, so six, it's divided six and six, and then Shomea Tfila is Keneged Kulam. Says the six first brachos have to do with the individual. And after that, after Achar Sheshal B'Tzarchei HaYachid, we're in the middle of the Makar, Chazer Lisha B'Tzarchei HaRabim, then you ask for the needs of the Rabbim, of the community. B'Achar Kach, and afterwards, Shomea Tefila, Al Kol HaBrachos. You ask a bracha that Hashem should listen to all the tefilos. See, right? Sheish brachos HaBakash Rishon HaSekes Ba'adam Prati. These are the first six. They focus on the individual person. Das, tshuva, slicha, geula, refuah, berchas hashan. Interesting, right? The first six are about me, right? Wisdom, repentance, forgiveness, redemption, personal redemption, health, sustenance. After that, we ask about the tzibur, kibbutz golios, that we should gather everybody from all the exiles, hashavas hamishpat, we should reconstitute a proper government. We should have a lot of kavana there too. Berchas aminim, right? That we shouldn't be infiltrated by people who are intentionally trying to undermine the authenticity of Torah. Hatzlachas atzadikim, that those who are righteous among us should be supported because they're so critical to our success. Binyan Yerushalayim, we should be able to rebuild Yerushalayim. Mashiach ben David, and Mashiach should come. And la'achar kol elu, we have the bracha of Shamea Tefila. So he makes an interesting point. And that is Birchas HaGeula, the bracha of Geula, the one we're focused on, Mesuderes be'emtza Birchos Ha'odom HaPrati. It comes in the middle of the individual brachos. And he writes, and he quotes the Rashi, that this Geula is not the Geula of Galus, it's personal. And he writes, Oh, nitein liros miseder HaBrachos, shetzarchei HaPrat. We could look at these brachos. They're also divided into two categories. One is das tshuva and slicha, and that's sort of like ruchani. Those are things that are more thought and spiritually oriented. And then we have refuah and berachas hashanim, and we have health, and we have sustenance. And he writes, the bracha of geula, hakalelas betochas shnei atzadim. So he writes, the bracha of geula is actually a synthesis of both. That geula relates to both the sort of existential, spiritual, you know, mind and soul aspect of the human being that the first part of Bakoshas are about, but at the same time, it's results driven in the sense that we're asking to be able to achieve our potential so that we could live as healthy people. It is not just a bracha that Hashem should help us do tshuva. It's a bracha that life should get better, just like the bracha of Rifa'enu and just like the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. But it's sort of a combination that life should get better, but the dimensions of life that we're asking to get better are the more existential dimensions of life. Let's move on in the bracha itself. V'riba rivenu. So what does that mean? So in the next Ma'ar Mokom, the Sifsei Chaim, he writes, lariv, mubno lihi lachem. The word riv generally means that there's some sort of, a riv is like a confrontation. It's a confrontation. Anu mevakshim she'ata tilachem b'shvilenu es milchamtenu. Im eile sherav mitanu. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that riba rivenu, you should fight our battles. What does this mean, fight our battles? So these brachos, the brachos of Rifa'enu, is about the battle of health against infection, against disease, against infiltration of things that could compromise our well-being. The bracha of sustenance is a bracha of battle. It's against the battle of poverty and the ability to conquer the material world and for us to be able to live and to survive and to thrive in a material way so that we could accomplish the things we want to accomplish. So we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the brachos, when we come to Geula, which is the bracha of personal redemption, of personal success, of personal self-satisfaction and self-actualization. So here too, we're fighting demons, right? Sometimes those demons are ourselves. Sometimes those demons are our inclinations. Sometimes those demons are not even external, but they're internal. And sometimes they're external. Sometimes there are triggers from the outside world that send us into a space that compromises our sense of stability. So for those two, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, riba rivenu. See, when it comes to refuah, so we're not alone. There are doctors, there are nurses, there are... When it comes to parnasa, we're not alone. There's Tomche Shabbos. There are people to help us find jobs. There are employers. Not alone in this battle. It's there's a world. There's a process. When it comes to personal geula, when it comes to personal self-actualization, so obviously we could create a support structure of rabbeim and therapists and friends and all sorts of people, neighbors who could help, you know, scaffold our lives in a way that support our emotional well-being. But sometimes the actual day-to-day inner battles that we wage, we feel we're very alone. We feel like, ah, only I have this challenge, only I have this problem, or I have it in a very acute way. We look at other people, we think their lives are so perfect, and how they're doing is so amazing and so great. And for us, we're not, you know, for us, we're struggling. And that feels very lonely. Sometimes when we think about our own just existential well-being, our own stability, our own emotional and just our own sense of self. So very often that feels like a very lonely space. Only we get us, only we understand the magnitude of these challenges. So we feel like so by ourselves. That's this bracha, riba rivenu. Hashem, part of the battle that I'm fighting is the battle against inclinations and temptations and even just, you know, low sense of self. All these things, riba rivenu, I don't want to fight them alone. That Kodesh Baruch Hu should be on our side, that we should feel like we're part of something bigger, that the Ribbono Shel Olam should edify that battle. Okay, the Otzros HaTfilah. He takes us in a completely different direction. And he writes the following. He writes that riba rivenu actually has to do with our conflicts, not within ourselves, but the conflicts we have with the outside world. the conflicts we have with the outside world, and it brings proofs from Psukim, some very recently, right? Vayehi riv bein roe mikne Avraham uvein roe mikne Lot, right? What was the riv? What was the confrontation, the fight? It wasn't necessarily a physical fight. So rather, he says, mivakshim anu, three lines for the bottom, me'akadosh baruch hu sheyitein chachma v'das, he should give us wisdom and insight, v'chachmenu sheyadu lanos l'mitzikenu, v'yedeze yischazku kol b'nei amenu b'shmiras toraseinu, that we should have the insight and the ability to counter all of the elements of the outside world and outside society that are serving as hostile to our identity and to who we are, right? We know that it's very challenging to live our lives as inspired, connected, authentic Jews. And very often we're able to gain from the world tremendous inspiration and elevation in that ambition. And very often we're put in a position where we have to resist a lot of things that are going on in the outside world, which try to pull us away from that ultimate goal. So the bracha of Riba Riveinu is empower us to be able to confront these challenges, which is basically a tefillah to empower us to be who we are. It's really a tefillah for confidence. It's a tefillah for us to be able to stand for who we are, on a personal level, on an ideological level. Goel Yisrael. It's a bracha davka within the world of Gullus. Specifically in the world of Gullus, we very often encounter all sorts of challenges that seek to erode our sense of confidence and our drive and our passion to be able to continue to grow. So Riba Riveinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not an easy world out there. So empower us, help us be part of this fight that we're able to be confident in who we are. We're able to repel the elements of the world around us that are tempting us away from the truth. And this would be an appropriate place to daven for yourself or for anyone who's struggling with the truth, right? We all know people, and every single one of us at some point in our lives struggles with the derech, right? Everybody, every single human being, every single person struggles, right? Every single person has questions or something happens in their life that challenges their commitment. That's normal. That's called being a thinking religious Jew, a feeling religious Jew. Everybody has challenge. Everybody has difficulty. So we're asking from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to help us find that inner confidence. This is where you daven for success in confronting those challenges and confronting those doubts for yourself, for others who are struggling with those types of things. Where do you daven for that? In Shmona Esrei, where do you daven for someone who you see is collapsing spiritually and religiously? Where do you pray for that? Is that Rifa'enu, Rifuas HaNefesh, maybe? Is that Shema Koleinu? Shema Koleinu is everything. That's a cop-out, right? Where is it? Chonen Adas, they should have wisdom and realize they're wrong. Or maybe it's deeper than that. Maybe what they need is redemption. Maybe what they need is to feel a pathway forward where they feel good about who they are and good about themselves and what they have to contribute and the impact they can make, that they should discover truth that speaks to them. Wherever that comes from, maybe this is an appropriate place to daven for that. Liman Shemecha, in the next part of this bracha, says the Sifsei Chaim, what does it mean that it should be Liman Shemecha? Gam im anu einenu reuyim liyigal b'schus ma'asenu v'akshim anu gulu Liman Shemecha shleizchalo bin agoyim. So he writes that even if we are not worthy of this personal geula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understand that we're here for a purpose. And that purpose is to be mar b'kvot shamayim. That purpose is to reveal the existence and presence and dominion of God in this world. And so therefore, when we face challenge and when we face difficulty and we ask for empowerment and support and inspiration and connection and redemption, We're not just asking for it so we can be happy, so we can be satisfied. We're asking for it so that we can advance the ultimate purpose in this world. And so therefore, and he brings an interesting proof from Sefer Yehoshua. B'tfiloso la'achar mapelas Yisrael b'melchemes ha'ai. After the Klal Yisrael suffered in the Milchama of Ai. So Yehoshua, what happened was, they conquered Yericho miraculously. They made a takana that no one could take anything from Yericho. And Achan took something from Yericho, and they didn't discover it till later. And they went to battle towards the next city, the city of Ai, and they suffered a defeat. And this was very challenging and very compromising, because they were about to march through Eretz Yisrael based on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's support and the ability to be Mar B'Kvod Shemayim. So Yehoshua prays to Hashem. He says, I don't know what's going on here, but I know this. I know that we're supposed to walk into the land of Israel, and everybody's supposed to see that the nation of God, the nation of the Ribbono Shel Olam, is successful in moving forward, because this land was promised to us, because our God is the all-powerful God. This is about Kiddush Shem Shemayim. This is not just about buying new homes and setting up new communities. This is about being Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. So what's going on here? That's Yehoshua's tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what the Sisei Chaim is suggesting is that Leman Shemecha means that even when something happened that we are unworthy, something happened in Sefer Yehoshua, they were unworthy of success. Something did break down in their spiritual fortitude. But nevertheless, Yehoshua says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, but if you're going to handle it this way, what happens to the Leman Shemecha? What happens to the goal of ultimately advancing you in this world? And just to conclude, looking at the next Marah Makom, actually 17, Yaros Devash, and the Siach Yitzchak that's quoted in the Sifsei Chaim, we're discussing the phrase Goel Chazak Ata. What do we think about when we say that? What's a Goel Chazak? I know what a Goel is. A Goel is a redeemer. What's a Goel Chazak? What's a strong redeemer? A strong redeemer, so says the, where are we? Says the Yaros Devash, Yonasan Eibshitz. He says, a Goel Chazak is Chazak Lasos Chutz L'Teva. You see, when we say the bracha of Rifa'enu, so we at least have a conception of a doctor who could heal someone. Say the bracha of Baruch Aleinu, we know what a check looks like. We know what it means to have the bank account go up. We know what these things mean. But the bracha of Goel Yisrael, the bracha of personal redemption, of being able to self-actualize, of being able to, sometimes we don't even really know what that looks like, and we have no idea what the pathway is. It doesn't seem that Miderech HaTeva, you know what that means? You know what Teva is when we say nature? Nature means patterns of existence. That's what nature is. That's what the Rambam says, the beginning of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. Predictable laws of physics, patterns of the physical world. Predictable patterns of the physical world. So when we look at our lives, we sometimes establish within our minds and within our hearts that these are the predictable patterns of the natural world of Yaakov Glasser. They can't be different. They can't be different. Whether it's nature or nurture or he's just not good enough, this is who he is. And this is how his internal spiritual and emotional world operates. And there's no way out. Maybe with 100 years of therapy, but there's no natural way out. So that's Goel Chazak. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I need you to pull me out of this. I need to reach that sense of self-actualization. And if that means that you're going to let me climb on your back and we will literally pierce the laws of nature and the laws of predictable patterns of behavior and thinking in order to reach that space, that's what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Because if you think about it, it's crazy. It's crazy. You're sitting there in Shemona Esrei. You're a mess. You're an emotional mess. Life is really overwhelming. And you're davening, oh, Hashem, redeem me that it should all be good. You can't even think of how it could be good. Goel Chazak. That's what he's saying. And finally, the Yaros Devash says at the end that we also, and this is the most important thing, I think, to keep in mind, that the bracha that we make at the end is Baruch Atah Hashem. What's the bracha? The bracha is Gal Yisrael. It's not a bracha of Yigael. It's not a bracha that we had redemption. It's not a bracha we're going to have redemption. It's a bracha of we're having redemption. Gal Yisrael. The bracha of it's in the present. And the reason for that is, says the Yaros Dvash, to emphasize this notion that this is not about remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim and big stories of redemption. It is not about the big story of redemption that's coming. It's about the story of redemption tonight for each and every one of us, our ability to be able to realize our potential, to get in touch with ourselves, to live lives of meaning and purpose, to bring perspective and understanding to the tensions that exist in our life, the questions that exist in our life, and to allow us to live with a sense of clarity, a sense of redemption, and a sense of stability. And then we go on to say in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, with that, we also need to live with health and with sustenance and ultimately with the geula that we're all working towards. I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. It's such a great and wonderful opportunity for us to learn together. We look forward to Mirtz Hashem seeing you next week. We'll start a new bracha next week, the bracha Rifa'enu, also very apropos for this time of year. And just to remind everyone, we have the weekly tefillah shir. We have the weekly Dafa Shavua shir on Sunday morning. We have the Smichas Chavar program, which started for early Sunday morning. If you want to wake up early and learn halacha with us, we have the Motzei Shabbos father-son learning that's going to begin this Saturday night in the shul. And in Mirtz Hashem, we're also going to start a new shir between Mincha Mariv on Machshava. So there are so many on Shabbos afternoon as we have to condense Mincha and Mariv. So many opportunities for us to learn together. Let's take advantage of all those opportunities. And Be'ezus Hashem, we'll be able to see each other very soon. Okay, have a wonderful and amazing night.